Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Grant Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. till about 1.30 p.m. It's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news and more. Well, it was whiplash time yesterday as a sudden Bitcoin price drop earlier in the week is followed by Friday's jump of $700 in less than 4 hours. Also, Facebook reverses its ban on cryptocurrency ads, to speak of whiplash going the other direction. Will other tech giants follow? Well, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has formally issued a call for public comment on yet another proposal to list a Bitcoin ETF. Many people speculate this will go much farther than previous requests, and we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. Customers at the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the U.S., Coinbase, withdrew 37% more from the company than they deposited in the month of April, and we'll look at what that means. Also, coming up at the halfway point of the show, 12:45, we'll have a returning guest, Samuel Arms. He is the CEO of Real Polytech LLC, and you've heard him here before as he is a recent graduate of USF and now currently an alumni, but he also worked with the State Department and Central Command on cryptocurrency. He is holding an event Monday night at Blockspaces in Tampa, which will be a legislative education session, not to get educated about the legislators, but to educate the legislators. Also, the meetups that we've been holding are on hiatus for at least till the end of July, probably till after Labor Day, but we'll keep you informed on that. Next week's show will be a rerun where we will replay the Charlie Shrem interview and the Office of the Clerk of Seminole County, Joel Greenberg, who is accepting Bitcoin now over there. Well, speaking of alumni, seems like she's almost been gone so long that we would call her an alumni. Returning back to the studio, finally, Sabine Priestley, well missed and happy to see you.
Thank you. It's always good to be back here. And you know I'm always with you in spirit anyway, usually heckling or texting in our chat.
Yes, distracting us with text. I see everybody look at their phones, and I need to turn away from the board here and look and see what's going on so I really know what's going on in the radio show. Well, I guess maybe the crypto sister of Sabine Priestley is here. Blockchain CPA Kara Hotz is with us, as usual, but you're going to take a couple weeks off here from radio.
I am. I'm going on a two-week hiatus, and I'll be off next week, of course, as we will for the best of, and then also the following week. And during that time, I'm going to attempt to detox from tether reading. I'm giving up chasing tethers for 2 weeks.
Or detether yourself from reading?
Just about tether.
Okay.
I'll read other things. Just nothing. But they end up in everything I want to read. So we'll see how that goes.
He'll give up tether and wind up with 50 Shades of Grey or something like that. It'll all take you full circle. But we won't delve into that because we have a perennial here, not an alumni. He's a perennial. The perennially crazy, somewhat skeptical Augie's here. Hey, Augie.
Hey, sometime in the day, mid-noon or thereabouts. Hey, Henry. Tethering is so much boredom. And I know what that is, and I put Z's behind it, one after the other. Anyway.
All right. Well, I'm sure Someone followed all that. And we're expecting someone else in the studio, but I don't want to introduce him until he arrives, so we will go with that. Let's see, we've talked to Cara. We know you're going to be gone a couple of weeks. Sabine, well, everybody's going to be gone next week through no fault of their own. Sabine, what else you got going on these days?
Trying to keep up with Cara over here, which is virtually impossible. Working on a couple of different crypto companies, which I don't want to talk about right now, but they're keeping me awfully busy. And the thing I'm doing least is writing, but I will be getting back into that.
Are you editing?
Yeah, actually, I've got the third book in my Tethered Wing series sitting on my dining room table, ready for me to pay attention to it and being woefully ignored, rather like Tether.
Well, I've sufficiently stalled now that we can do this. Heard that in a week, a.k.a. Andy, Seeking Crypto, SeekingCryptos.net, SeekingCryptos.com, all things Seeking Crypto, co-founder Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1. Good to have you back, Andy.
I'm glad to be back, Henry.
So were you out mining cryptos, or what were you doing?
Actually, I had to go visit my dad out there in Phoenix for a couple weeks, so he's doing a lot better, and hopefully everything works out.
And how about if you weren't crypto mining, did you check any gold mines? Are there gold mines out there?
No, there are. But
Nevada,
you know,
on the way.
Absolutely. Well, we did stop in Vegas, so I did have a good time in Vegas for one night. So, but other than that, it was a lot of driving. So
but you can't tell us what happened in Vegas, right?
I can tell you what happened in Vegas. We pulled in, played some poker, and left.
All right,
that's what they all say.
It's good that Andy is back because we have lots going on in the marketplace. Just timely for his return.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, crypto markets are seeing a significant rebound after the week's decline. All of the top 10 cryptocurrencies by market capitalization are in the green, with Cardano, ADA, being the biggest winner, up 18.6% over the past 24 hours, according to CoinMarketCap. Bitcoin is up around 8%, and although this shows press time a couple hours ago, right now we're at about $6,369. On Bitcoin, Ethereum currently at 447, and total market cap has seen substantial growth in 24 hours to press time, from yesterday's $232 billion to $258 billion today, so $24 billion appearing out of nowhere. Cardano, as I said, is up the most, and if you were to look backwards, way back in time, like 5 or 6 days ago, around the 28th or 29th, it was Bitcoin was trading at a little bit higher than this price here. That had been a trading range for the past 2 weeks, and then it was down below 6,000, getting as low as 5,700 something. Again, a long time ago, 25, 26 hours ago. Goldbug One, Andy, what's going on here? What do you see?
Well, I mean, it's just an extreme low. I think if you're an investor, you're just holding through this. I mean, I actually had one of my buddies yesterday call me right at the bottom. Ironically, I was on the way up to Gainesville, so I couldn't help him, but he wanted to sell his cryptocurrencies. He says, I just think it's time to get out of the market. And I said, why? And he goes, well, it's a bear market. And I said, I'm not going to mention his name.
What do you think his cost basis was?
Well, he bought in September and October, so, I mean, it's not... August, September, October.
A little bit.
He's just a little bit into the red. And I'm thinking to myself, this is definitely, He had all the opportunities to sell.
Actually, he would be a little bit in the green.
Yeah, probably a little bit, but, well, not necessarily, because he did a lot of those altcoins, and those got crushed.
Oh,
those got crushed.
Who put him in those?
I can't remember. No. Anyways, so I'm thinking to myself, and I'm driving up to Gainesville, dropping my son off at college, and I'm thinking to myself, gosh, this must be the bottom. Because when people are sitting there going, I've just had enough pain, I'm ready to throw in the towel, is generally a sign of the market bottom. And that happened in 2008 with the stock market. People were just ready to throw in the towel in that. So an interesting formation happened, though, this morning or in the last couple of days with Bitcoin, where in the daily bar, instead of failing, and if you've noticed, if you go past this recent bearish trend, every time Bitcoin has pulled back to where it bottomed and then kind of rebounded like it did in the last couple of days. It failed and failed miserably, pulled back quick. But this time it didn't do that. And I'm really thinking that 5,700 may be the low. And that was actually a support level, which is a little lower than 6,000, but within the range of...
See, what I think is Tom Lee from Fundstrat put out that theory, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, that whenever... And it only happens 2 out of 3 times, so I don't know how you really nail a theory to something that only happens that often over the course of about 6 times. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that the day that right after Bitcoin futures expire, settle, that we see a jump in the
jump.
So
in the price.
I think Tom Lee did not want to be embarrassed on CNBC again.
And he went in and bought.
He went in with $50 million, spiked the market, but
you know there could be some relevance to it. I mean it is somebody's selling those futures contracts and it's probably the banks
really
and
a small
you know
percent of the,
and the
market.
Banks have never done any manipulation in the markets at all in the futures never. So
it's got to be Tom Lee.
Yeah. So you know it's possible, but I think we're seeing a bottom here, and I wouldn't be surprised to. Actually, I have an order sitting in at 60-50 right now to buy. So if it pulls back to that, I'll get filled.
I'm not educated to all the oscillators and indicators like Andy, the technical whiz. When I pull back and I look at we really saw a 700 from the bottom of 24 hours ago. We saw a $700 move. It's backed off a little bit.
Yeah.
But even at the peak of that $700 move, if you look at a 3-month chart. And just draw a line from the tops, you're still at that line. You haven't broken upward.
Absolutely.
On that downtrend line.
Absolutely. We're in a short-term bearish cycle. So,
actually 7 months.
Well, 7 months. That's still short. All right, so maybe midterm. But long-term, if you go back to September of last year or August of last year, it was at $4,000. If you bought, of course, a lot of people bought after August, but... If you bought at 4,000, even dipped down to, 3,000, 2,900 at one point? If you bought from there, it's at 6,000. You're still up almost double your money, at least 50%. So in the long term, looking back 2 years, it's still a bull market. So it all depends on your perspective. If it's just like anything else. Short term, yeah, absolutely. Short term and midterm, we're probably in a bear market. But long term, we still haven't broke that longer term trend line, which is actually down around 4,300.
Yes.
I mean, and it's a lot of pain to endure, but there's sometimes, if you're feeling the pain, you've got too much money in cryptos.
But I'm waiting to see something. Absolutely. Break the downtrend line.
I mean, and that's something that people should really be aware of. If you're feeling too much pain and you feel like I have to just get out of this market, then you did not invest right. You should only be investing with money you're willing to lose. And when I say willing, not able to lose, you're willing to lose. And, I mean, I'm able to lose a lot of money. Am I willing to lose that lot? No. So I don't mind sleeping at night because, if I lose all that money, I lost it. But that's a chance I'm willing to take on that this is going to be a huge technology in the future.
I don't want to do all the background. I just want to give you a heads up for after the show about the options market that we've talked about before, the one in Europe. Some scary stuff was happening on that yesterday. As
on an unregulated options exchange?
I guess you could call it that.
I can't imagine anything scary on that.
Yeah. Like, where'd everybody go? I mean, when you can't sell options that are deep in the money, you write, where'd everybody go? Yeah. Not that I was doing anything like that, but I have a friend.
That has a friend?
Well, I don't know if he considers them a friend anymore. All right, let's get into something happy here for the people that are long in Bitcoin. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has formally issued a call for public comment on yet another proposal to list a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund, an ETF, on a regulated exchange. VanEck, the financial capital company, SolidX partner to create physically backed Bitcoin. The development came in response to a proposal submitted by Chicago-based derivatives exchange, Chicago Board of Options Exchange, to list and trade shares of SolidX Bitcoin shares, which itself has been issued by the VanEck SolidX Bitcoin Trust. Well, that was a lot of mouthful there. But anyway, this isn't going to be a futures market. According to the filing documents, the trust will invest directly in physical Bitcoin, not Bitcoin futures. Each share will represent a fractional, undivided, beneficial interest in the trust net assets. What that all means is they're going to buy a bunch of Bitcoin, and they're going to hold it in trust, and they're going to sell you a fraction of it. Anyway, they're going to do this by not being in the futures market. They're actually going to hold and keep the Bitcoin in some kind of custodial agreement, either by themselves or with someone else that does that. Previously, the SEC had raised significant concerns about Bitcoin ETFs. However, this fund is VanEck's third attempt to create and list a Bitcoin, has attempted to evade those concerns by making the shares too expensive for most retail investors to purchase. And I won't comment as whether there's anybody in this room that might be able to do this. But as of the date, the registration statement, each share would be 25 Bitcoins, worth roughly $150,000 at the time of writing. Makes you wonder, anybody that actually has enough money to buy 25 Bitcoins, why they need to pay the management fee for someone else. But anyway, given regulatory concerns about cryptocurrency spot markets, most ETF proposals have traded Bitcoin futures. Anyway, there is hope that this one has gone farther down the road. More custodial solutions have come forward, more money on the sidelines. In fact, last week, I don't know if we talked about it on the show or not. I think it actually might have happened after the show. VanEck announced they had set aside $300 million for a cryptocurrency fund, and they hired some woman that had a background not only in cryptocurrency, but pretty significant resume in preparation for this. So, any thoughts?
That was a blank. I mean, go ahead, Tara. You wanted to go to the mic real quick. Go on.
I only wanted to go to the mic to say I'm so happy Andy's back.
you survived Vegas, and you only spent one night.
Yeah, Vegas to me is not as fun as it used to be when I was younger. Yeah.
Down at the edges, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Round of deals and all that. We're in a trade war status, very possibly, which is going to affect all of this. And the hopes of people in speculation are going to be, I'm afraid, very much dashed. Smoot-Hawley's around the corner, and I'm afraid, folks, we're in for it.
Well, on that happy note.
But back to ETFs.
But Andy, on the other hand, if you want a bullish outlook, in hard economic times, how does gold perform?
It's interesting that Augie said that because I've been following the trade stuff and not as much the actual political stuff that goes around, but I'm watching where the money's flowing. And what's interesting is the money is not flowing into gold. Obviously, gold's come down. It's at like 1256 or something. I mean, that's an extreme low. I had 1265, and 12. It's below that, and so money's not flowing into gold. It's flowing a little bit into treasuries, but a lot of it's flowing into the U.S. dollar, and you're seeing that across the board where you've had 8% moves in the euro, 8% moves in the yuan, which are extreme moves in the forex market.
8% down.
Yes, the yuan and the euro are down extremely from their recent highs in March when the trade war was announced, or started anyways, and so you're seeing the Shanghai's down 50%, and you're not seeing anything coming in Bitcoin. So I would think you would see if there was really the if people were really that scared, the smart money was, you'd see a flow into gold, you'd feel a flow into more bonds, and you would see a flow into Bitcoin. I really think that. So you saw a little pop in the market, but it's really kind of following the S&P. So you saw a pop in the market in the S&P yesterday, or the last 2 days, and Bitcoin followed. So I don't know if there's a correlation here. I just think the U.S. dollar is driving all these markets right now. The U.S. dollar is so strong that it's driving a lot of these markets. If you look at the Bitcoin paired with Euro, it's almost flat. It has not broken its low from February, which is, you know, which is different than USD.
Something that we've been tracking for the past year on this show about the preparation of big financial players to get into the market, and the VanEck putting $300 million aside, and VanEck is by no means the biggest player in this field. You still have the Goldman Sachs and the other companies that we mentioned before. And I saw someone had close to $1 billion set aside, but not ready to go yet. And something like the first SEC approval is going to open the floodgates on this, but who knows when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And
might as well be that crap stable in Vegas, you know.
That's why.
The 23rd. I'm buying on the 23rd.
I actually turned my head away from a Bitcoin chart for about 10 minutes last night when it jumped the first $300, $400. But one of the things that still doesn't convince me, besides the fact that it hasn't broken the uptrend line or downtrend line, is I see all the volume come in such a constrained piece of time, like over 4 or 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes maybe, and you see this jump, and then nothing happens. And then we had the second jump yesterday, and all of a sudden it wasn't as much volume as before, but it's still all this concentrated volume. And it was almost, to me, just speculating that it was deliberately time to try and push it through the resistance level around 6,400. It got up to 6,500 for a second.
Yeah, and it fell.
And it couldn't break through. And I want to see it go up. It's fine with me if it goes up fast, but I want to see the volume stay consistent.
I think it has to break 6,800 for it to.
There would, if you, for that much volume to come in, unless it's short covering, which,
well,
I don't think that was really.
It could be some short covering.
Not. I don't think that kind of volume for that short a period.
Yeah.
But if you were going to buy, if you were a big player in the stock market and you wanted to invest millions of dollars in something, you're not going to dump it all at once and force the price up. You're going to be rational about it and try and buy it over time.
Well, you know, well, go ahead, Augie.
Just a question. What kind of volume are we talking about?
I'm looking on TradingView.com, and at that particular time, I'm looking at the Bitstamp exchange. So I'm not sure exactly, but I can see it relative to the past 24 hours. But to the past 24 hours, it looked like the volume was maybe 30 times what it had been in a course of 10 minutes.
Well, I don't follow volume too much because of robo-trading and algorithms. But, Paul Tudor Jones... everyone knows Paul Tudor Jones. He used to be a big market mover.
The wrestler or the...
I think he wrestler turned trader.
Yeah.
And, he used to make big purchases, and people would be wise to it, and they'd start to buy into it. So he had to be sly about how he did his purchases, and he would buy through several different brokers, and he'd buy in 300 lots, and do that to kind of spread it out. So what I think is actually happening is, and this is with Bitcoin only, not with the other altcoins, I think you're going to start seeing central banks are going to start accumulating it, because if it is going to be a store of wealth, they at least want to have some in their depository. And stability. So I think what you're seeing is you're starting to see some institutions slowly buy these dips into the 6,000 level, and, then they're waiting for a pullback to buy more. They're not going to come in all at once because it's such a slim market. Like you said, it's going to move the market and spike it up. But especially with all the algo traders, I mean, if you look at any of these exchanges, you know, it's algo trading, you know, central there. So they have to be careful because once you trigger those algo tradings, algorithmic tradings, algo bots, you get a nice little run there.
Well, yesterday, to show you how much things change in 24 hours, CNBC was interviewing Mohammed Al-Aryan. He's the chief economic advisor of Alliance, another financial venture capital firm and investment capital firm. And, you know, they get bring these people on and ask them for their expert opinion, and they really aren't in the market. But it's interesting to see the opinions that they have, and we'll hear from that.
Because the basis of people who truly believe in Bitcoin was joined by many, many, many people who jumped on the bandwagon. That was purely speculation.
And you think all those people have been so burned that they're never coming back?
Yes. Bitcoin was 10 cents 5 years ago. People have made a fortune.
No.
Even now, people have made a fortune.
This fall, I had people who I had never invested in any of this stuff who were suddenly saying, is this a good investment?
Right. The taxi driver, everything. I don't think you get all the way back to 20,000. But I do think that you need to establish a base whereby the people who really believe in the future of Bitcoin consolidate, and then that provides you a lift up. And that we're not seeing.
Let me ask you a different question. Does the world need a digital currency? What is it that the U.S. dollar doesn't do well?
So I suspect that if you look 10 to 15 years down the road, we will have digital currencies, but the public sector will have involvement in them. It will not be pure Bitcoin. But the blockchain technology, take that seriously.
And you don't think there's going to be war?
They always have to throw that in. Blockchain, take that seriously.
Yeah.
Crypto, I don't know. Blockchain, yeah.
That's just a fundamental ununderstanding where they do not understand the whole technology in general.
I want you to listen for when he says what price he will buy it at. Now, you got to remember, the price was around $5,900 when they were talking to him 24 hours ago.
One of them proves to be a private currency.
Oh, it will, but it will not be a currency in the sense that we understand a currency to
He's
be.
He's on currencies now.
It will be a means of exchange.
It's a security.
It's a commodity.
Yeah, so I think so you should tell that on CNBC, because CNBC on the website has it on the FX.
It's not a currency.
Fine, so let's call it a commodity.
Right.
Do you think that Bitcoin will be a store of value 10 years from now?
I do.
And how will it be valued?
The rate of adoption will be much slower than what the believers think it is right now. So yes, it will be. It's going to be around, but it's not going to be a currency. It's going to be another commodity-like asset out there.
That you can trade.
That you can trade. And mainly as a store of value.
Okay.
Like a bale of hay.
Do you own any of it?
I do not know.
Is there a price at which you'd buy it?
Yeah, there is.
What's that price?
I've said in the past around $5,000.
$5,000. You're $1,000 off with me. Okay.
And I've said it consistently.
Okay.
On that.
And why $5,000? Tell me why. I just want to understand.
Same reason why you said $6,000. Why did you say $6,000? It's a gut feeling, right?
It's a gut feeling. That's what I was waiting for. He doesn't own any. He'll buy it at $5,000. Why? It's a gut feeling. He's the chief economic advisor of a company that handles billions of dollars.
It makes
you
feel comfortable.
How do you make your
decisions? Yeah, it makes you feel comfortable. Gut feeling.
So I do want to make time for the trouble token, but we have a quick other important story right here that we'll go to. It actually affects the radio show quite a bit, too.
Facebook is reversing its ban on cryptocurrency advertisements and will now allow some pre-approved advertisers to promote their cryptocurrency business. That, according to Recode, the article goes on to say that advertisers that are now approved by Facebook through an application process will be able to promote their cryptocurrency products, although worth noting, as promoting binary options and ICOs, initial coin offerings, are still banned. This comes after Facebook did put a ban on cryptocurrency ads back in January, but this reversal is a sign that the social media industry, along with regulators, are working together to kind of get the bad actors out. Back to you guys.
I don't know if it's coincidental, but there was an...
Okay, we'll go to the group part of that in just a second. So, previously, I was able to use Facebook to promote the podcast. So we would have... I'd always put it out as far as posting it on major groups like Bitcoin Worldwide and Crypto Warriors and things like that. But you can do a very efficient target advertising with Facebook, and for $10, you know, I could target the U.S. or wherever I wanted to target, and it was a lot of bang for your buck. If you've ever sold advertising or you bought advertising, you realize how disadvantaged the newspapers, even television is, to how targeted Facebook can do to hit something that's of a more narrow interest, something that everybody needs. You know, if it's a dish soap or something, maybe you want to go on TV or a car. But once Facebook put their ban in, the only thing left I could use the Twitter ads, which weren't quite as good as far as the effectiveness of Facebook. But when Twitter cut out our downloads have dropped by two-thirds since I have not been able to spend like $10 a week on Facebook. I do all the free things I can. The Twitter, we got more coverage on Twitter, more followers on Twitter now. But it's still nothing like what those ads would do. Now, I've looked at the form. I haven't filled it out yet. It doesn't seem to be any reason why the show can't be approved again for Facebook. But the thing that comes up next is really the critical thing. Why did this happen, and what's going to happen with Google and Twitter, et cetera?
Op-ed in the paper today in the Wall Street Journal by an antitrust attorney pointing out that it may be collusion on the part of these two institutions, these two organizations, Facebook and Google, to ban these ads, because they may also be involved in cryptocurrency at some
point. Eventually. I think it's strange that the ads will be pre-approved, or the products will be pre-approved. That implies that Google is going to be doing some sort of due diligence.
Vetting and stuff.
Exactly, which is a whole other liability for the company, but interesting news.
Facebook is...
So what that says, then, is that Facebook may have their own cryptocurrency. Google may have their own cryptocurrency. Amazon would be the one to do a cryptocurrency and give you a 5% discount for using their currency, and next thing you know, they've taken over the world. But Facebook, with 2 billion users, could have a global currency that surpassed the dollar. And
I'd be surprised if they didn't. The ad timing is kind of interesting, and I can tell you I did fill it out. It was Wednesday or Thursday, and I haven't heard back from them yet. But I'm with you, and there's a lot of us that are. We want to get back onto Facebook advertising because it has hurt.
What were you advertising?
You
don't have to be specific, but crypto-related?
Yeah, the two companies that I'm working with.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We're setting some stuff up. And
I was thinking your novels, and I was like,
I have no problem advertising.
That's outrageous.
Well, they might ban them for other reasons, but not for crypto.
I think if you put both of their pictures on the Henry Raines show page together, just like this, I don't think we'll have any issues with selling anything.
Oh, and my Twitter following would go up like crazy.
I think I might get in trouble in Vegas in November. I'm just saying.
That's something we'll have to wait and hear. The prep go. We have a segment to get in right now that we haven't been justice to lately.
Talking trouble.
There's a trouble.
Kara, what do you have for us for token trouble this thing?
Well, this kind of parallels a little bit about what we were talking about before. There was a new revenue model for exchanges that was introduced in the past week and a half, called trans-fee mining. And it was conceived by the former CTO of...
Tell us what trans... Say it again, please.
So it's called trans-fee mining.
Okay, and it is...
And... The former CTO of the exchange Wabi, I believe, he created it. And what it is you want to make a trade, you want to buy Bitcoin on my exchange.
Okay.
And so you pay 0.01% Bitcoin to me to get that trade done.
Right.
And then I, in turn, take Fcoin, which is my native token on my exchange, and I reimburse you all your fees.
Are you saying S like Sam or F like Frank?
F like Frank.
Okay.
I had a heck of a time when I was reading and researching, but it's the F
F-coin.
Stands for... Right.
Free?
I had a really hard time. But their use of F is for finance and future.
Right. Well, they call it double F coin.
Exactly. How can it be bad?
Could be Fox.
So the interesting thing that I found, because I am trying to understand when Andy talks about why he doesn't pay attention to volume.
Let me see if I understood. So this coin is the premium you're paying to get the transaction done.
No. That's what I would think it should be used for in the future. So you don't pay anything. You just... It's a way for the exchange to accumulate Bitcoin and Ethereum and shell out distribute.
So I transact with the exchange or with Andy?
With the exchange.
So I'm buying from the exchange. What happens with Fcoin?
So you give the exchange Bitcoin or Ethereum to pay for your transaction, and they in turn...
Like a different coin.
Okay.
Do I pay them with Bitcoin to buy Ethereum?
Yes. You can pay them with Bitcoin to buy Ethereum,
okay.
But you are paying for your transaction fee in Bitcoin and Ethereum, and that's the revenue to the exchange. You need to...
They skim a little bit.
They charge you straight up. They charge you, let's make it astronomical.
No, let's make it like 1 or 10.
1%.
It's an easy number.
Yeah, okay. They're going to charge you 1% Bitcoin in order to for you to buy whatever you want from their exchange. You pay the transaction fee with Bitcoin. In turn, they have 10 billion F-Coin. Their
what is
native
F-Coin?
Token. F-Coin is their token that they just minted overnight.
Okay.
Okay?
It's like the U.S. dollar.
I was following her there, and I wasn't for a while. So now...
Am I back? Are you following
me?
It sounds like the euro. Sounds like the euro.
I've got my fingers in my ears, not
okay.
listening to Andy.
So...
Which is hard with the headset on.
So I have 10, I'm the exchange, and I'm the F-Coin exchange, and I have 10 billion F-Coin that now that there's no, all the ICO money has dried up, there's no way for me to distribute these 10 billion F-Coin.
Right.
Don't want to do a free airdrop.
Right.
Don't really know what I'm going to do with them. So why don't I do an ICO, but not call it an ICO? So now I'm going to have everybody trade on my exchange.
Okay.
And you're paying me trading fees in Bitcoin and
right.
Ethereum.
Yeah, you took my 1%.
I'm taking your 1%.
That.
But I'm going to make you feel good because I'm going to give you F-Coin.
And you know what F-Coin stands for? You've been.
Yeah, I lost my Bitcoin and I got this F-Coin.
So,
there's a reason they didn't use another letter.
So, which I kept inserting every time I was typing. Every time I was typing, I'm like, how does
okay,
the user fall for this,
I got
right?
You,
so,
I got in exchange for my, the premium I paid in Bitcoin for the transaction. You're
right.
Trying to make me feel good by you give me this effing coin. And now what am I going to do with this effing coin?
I'm not really sure myself either, other than the fact that they do say when... In the future, everything's very future. This is like so no utility
is there
right now.
Any place I can trade the effing coin for some other coin?
Not that I went that far to look because I think it's only a week and a half old. But
for the SD coin.
But what they will do is they're going to keep 20% of that 1% for operations and the other 80% they're going to distribute kind of like passive income. So if you hold an F coin, you're going to get revenue share. However, what really, so you could argue that there's a little bit of benefit there. I guess you could see a little. We all know it takes a lot to give up Bitcoin and Ethereum, at least amongst ourselves. But anyway, the thing that concerned me the most is the bots trading, that you could literally either be a bot or trade with yourself because there's no fee. Essentially, there's no fee. So CoinMarketCap is not calculating this into the volume. But when I was just looking at it, and the critics, there were two exchanges that copycatted it almost overnight on Twitter. They put, like, a one-page white paper of their revenue share model up on Twitter after F-Coin was announced. And their trade volume... They were in the top 10 in trade volume on CoinMarketCap. So now everybody knows who these genius traders are.
A coin for the show. And all you have to do is ask. I will send you a free file of the show. I don't know how we get how a file.
Oh, you pay for the show, you get a coin.
No, they ask for a show, and they get a coin.
There you go.
I'm
going to
call it the MFM coin. And
the
when
Muffin
you
coin.
Ask for a show, you the get Muffin an MFN coin. All right, we got to get to Samuel Lawrence, but I do want to. He can wait.
Oh,
just
we have
a minute,
Samuel
sure.
on
there. Yeah, he's coming.
Samuel,
he's back. He's not in. He's not in house.
No, it
saved me time.
I was wondering why these girls were dressed up so nice. I'm thinking, wow, new lipstick, tans. I mean,
it's because you're back. We knew Samuel was calling
I'm
in.
Sure it was Samuel. I'm sure.
All right. I also noted the amplitude on my wave.
Yeah,
Samuel goes up whenever we
Spikes.
Talk about Samuel, too. Well, we'll get to Samuel soon enough. But We do need, before we finish, token trouble from Kara. Give us an EOS update.
So the latest on EOS in particular is
Tell us what happened first.
Nobody knows what happened. There was a vote, and they halted seven addresses that were potentially malicious. And it took quite a bit to get to that point, and I believe it was the block producers that had to do that. And that defied the Constitution.
So that wasn't done by a vote.
That was not done by
a
vote.
Sort of dictatorial.
So it became centralized, and the potential for censorship was there, or dictatorial. So emerging from that was the ECAF, which is, I think, the EOS something. It's a dispute resolution. The arbitrator. It's supposed to be like a community of arbitrators. The EOS Core Arbitration Forum. But the problem with... So you have your block producers, and then you have arbitrators. And the block producers are the ones that carry out the delegated proof of stake that are actually keeping the network secure. They're the ones being elected, 21 of them rotating every 2 minutes. You have them. And that's by vote. But then if there's somebody malicious, the block producers in theory should not be the ones having to spend time.
I've just got to get this over for Samuel. So is this still the state of things, or did they resolve it?
So they haven't. They attempted to resolve it through the ECAF. Because another 22 malicious, potentially malicious transactions
came
up.
What does this mean to the people that bought EOS?
Get the hell out.
Well, what they either get the hell out or...
Buy Elastos.
No, wait, time out. What they should be doing is getting involved. If you actually care about EOS and EOS succeeding... You need to actually get involved.
What if you just care
involved?
About making money?
Then you should not have invested in EOS in the first place.
All right. Well, we've got to that. Sounds to me like your music liner on this is very appropriate. Yes, it was. We'll be back on the other side of the break with Samuel Arms.